What a matchup.
And what a team, Mike. Metro PCS and the iPhone SE for $0 on a network that covers 99% of people in the U.S. Oh, impressive.
Play with the best. Switch to Metro PCS on an unlimited LTE plan and get a 32-gig iPhone SE for $0. Metro PCS. Coverage not available in some areas, plus sales tax. Claim based on talk and text. Not valid for active numbers currently on the T-Mobile network or active on Metro PCS in the past 90 days. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Are not going live.
Negative.
Good evening, Metal Faithful. This is the Metal Hammer of Doom, and I am your host, the Mandated Reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified, Mr. Mark Rattledge. And tonight, we are bringing you the Metal Hammer of Doom from Spreaker. Just a little bit of how the sausage is made here. We've been for the last 45 minutes trying to figure out how to recreate the magic that we created in our test show on Saturday to bring you this, and like a lot of science experiments and a lot of magic, everything went haywire. So we're going to do the best we can to bring you a decent show tonight, and what better way to bring you a decent show than with Philip H. Anselmo and the Illegals, choosing mental illness as a virtue. That's virtue, ladies and gentlemen, virtue. I'm not alone here sharing my misery. Here helping me make the sausage, helping me cast the spells and create the madness. Ladies and gentlemen, the Metal Coop, Robert Cooper. How do you do, sir?
I've got a magic sausage for you, Mark.
Oh, you got you. What's going on here?
You just knew that was coming.
Oh,
and of course
hello Spreaker. Who doesn't love a little slightly awkward homoeroticism?
Oh man.
And that disgust the painted voice you hear, of course, is our third chair, the man who comes to the edumacation. He is the disapproving dad and the host of Source Material in his own right. He's the man who's had to put up with me going, can you hear it now? How about now? Do you hear this? Is this good? Do you like it like that? Is this the way you like it? How about this? This? To the left? To the right? Up, down? What do you... Should I do the alphabet? That's a lot of oral sex jokes in that whole intro.
I got all of that. Not that I know anything about all of that, but I've heard of it.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jesse Starcher, how do you do, sir?
My goodness. It is quite the sausage fest around here. Obviously, it's been a quite the trying time.
One week since you looked at me.
It's been like
crazy.
It's been like 2 days, I swear, with Skype and our good buddy Spreaker. Now, you know, this is going to be a fun show. I'm glad we're here on Spreaker to give this a shot, and I hope everything works well for us, and you know, as for an exodus from Blog Talk, we hope that this works and gives us the opening. Spreaker welcomes us with open arms, I hope.
Yeah, if we can actually If we can actually get it all, get all the music to work. See, that's the thing. Like, sorry, I just got a text from somebody that made me laugh. Yep, we're still distracted here on the Metal Hammer of Doom.
Nothing has changed.
This platform may have changed, but the personalities are still asinine. No,
we put the ass in it, though.
We really do. We really do put the ass in asinine. Yeah, the whole exodus from Blog Talk Radio was very much dependent on whether or not we could recreate the Metal Hammer of Doom on Spreaker. So tonight is our guinea pig. Tonight is our test show. This is either going to sound awful, or it's going to sound awesome, or at least as awesome as our show on Blog Talk Radio sounded, which was awful. Try to figure that out. but we are doing Philip H. Onsamo and the Illegals tonight, and I suppose we should get this party started. Jesse, didn't you and I just by ourselves review the first album? I know that it was reviewed on the Metal Hammer of Doom because we still get people downloading that show for some odd reason. Neither one of us was particularly wazooey about it, if I remember correctly.
Man, here's the thing. I don't remember covering that album, and it's a very good possibility that I did and completely was traumatized and said, and then forgot that that was something that happened to me. So yes, it happened to me, ladies and gentlemen. I willingly took place in a podcast, and then I'm now willing to forget it, or at least have been my subconscious has forced me to forget it. But yeah, that was something that we were talking about over the weekend, and I was like, well, I need to go back and see if I was part of that show because I don't remember it. There you go. So as to what to go on, as a good podcaster, I used to do my research. For this one, I unfortunately fell a little short and didn't even remember if I was on the podcast that I did about the subject before. So there you go.
Terrific. All right. Do you?
I could have swore I was on that podcast.
Were you? Okay. Maybe it was just you and me then. I don't know. I know I was there. I know I was there, and I know that the conclusion me and whoever else was on that show came to was, boy, does Philip H. Onsamo wish he was in a death metal band.
Oh.
And I was thinking,
yes.
I thought my takeaway from it was, hey, this reminds me of what he really wants to do with his spoken word tour, and he just can't manage to make money off of it.
I was thinking about this as I was driving home tonight. I made a crack there that, boy, does Philip H. Onsamo wish he were in a death metal band. And I was thinking about Pantera and how Pantera evolved from Cowboys from Hell to the last album was. I always think it's The Great Southern Trendkill, but no, there was one album that followed that was imminently forgettable. But the first two Pantera albums are so good. You know, they really were part of the rebirth of metal in the 90s. And part of the reason was, obviously, Dimebag Darrell's, guitar playing, Vinnie Paul's drumming, Rex's bass playing. They created a swing in Pantera that seldom, there are a few bands that have really duplicated I don't want to say duplicated, that's not the right word. Few bands have created the kind of swing that Pantera did without outright copying them. And then, Phil Onsamo himself was always, very, emotional in his singing and aggressive. And so it was a nice fit. The problem with Pantera was, and I'm going to get you guys' opinion on the matter, and then we can get into the music. And it comes out in something like Philip H. Onsamo and the Illegals are Super Joint. Both really showcase, I think, Phil's influence on Pantera, but not for the better. Because again, you have the first two Pantera albums that had a lot of swing to it, a lot of rhythm, and a lot of groove. And then you get to, refresh my memory. What's the third album? Beyond the something or other.
Far Beyond Driven.
Thank
Far
you.
Far Beyond Driven.
Far Beyond Driven.
The one with the drill bit in the anus.
Yes. Well, I knew it was something like that. Far Beyond Driven, where it's this really weird mix of Pantera's groove and rhythm, and then their swing in the other direction towards death metal. Then it went even further in the direction of death metal with reinventing this the Great Southern Trendkill. Yeah, and then the last one was Reinventing the Steel, where it was like they just abandoned trying to make music altogether, and it was a lot of noise, from what I remember.
There were some cool songs, like Goddamn Electric and I'll Cast a Shadow.
Eh, they were okay. Obviously not my favorites, but just kind of weigh in here, guys, with this idea of Philip H. Anselmo seems to hate rhythm. Like he just wants the drummer to bang on the drums constantly, and he wants to scream, you know, like you said, he wants to do spoken word, but he's just yelling at you the whole time, and there's not a whole lot of swing or rhythm there. All right, I've been going on for a half an hour. Rob, go ahead.
Listening to some of the songs off this album, I get reminded of a side project he played guitar in, actually, called Necrophagus, where he played, his character was, and I think he went by the name of Anton, or was it Aleister Crowley? Something like that. But it kind of reminds me in some of that way of just kind of like the frenetic guitars and the screaming. Phil has a really kind of odd style in some ways, because he fucking loves almost like grindcore-esque sound with the drums, and then him just screaming like he just fucking hit his toe on the toe on a piece of furniture.
Yeah. Well, it's been a while since I listened to a Philip Anselmo-led band. And by the way, just hopping into the archives here, it looks like 2016 was Superjoint. Caught Up in the Gears of Application, which was probably the one that I was on. Now, prior to that, there was Philip H. Anselmo and the Illegals Walk, September 3rd of 2013. So that's 5 years ago. Well, close to 5 years ago. Four and a half. So
we're old.
I was not around for that one. But yeah, I just basing what you hear in this album, absolutely are you correct, sir? Because it's just, there's no rhythm. And at one point I thought there's going to be some groove, and then it's just, how many different sounds can you throw into a song? I'm sure there's other artists that have done more than what Philip H. Anselmo is doing with this record, but my gosh, it just feels like it's all over the place, and I can't, you know, you start me out on one song, and I can't depend on that song ending the same way it started. That's just the nature of this band, apparently, or Phil himself. So, it's frenetic. Frenetic is the word.
Frenetic is the word of the day, children. All right, let's go ahead and play some music. Now, again, here's a little look behind the curtain. In order for me to do this, I got to do some toggling. Right,
toggle,
Jesse?
Toggle.
I gotta do some toggle of the Screaming Boy podcast. No, I have to do some. Why should it go as well? Dude, I just wander around work telling people why should it go as well. And have you heard about? Have you gotten some of that fuck money? I'm all about that meat sauce.
Oh my gosh.
Every stupid gimmick we've done for the past like 3 months, I just wander around work babbling. People
are going to be concerned, Mark. You need to keep yourself in check.
No, sir. They already know.
That's
why
I
hardly talk at work. I hardly do. I have my headphones in because I will spout off some BS from a podcast that I've done with you guys at some point, and they're going to be like, "What the fuck is your problem, dude?" Coop, what was you going to say?
I would say that I don't talk at work, but from anything you guys know of me, that is a lie.
Yeah, that's horseshit of the highest order.
Oh, yeah. I told you one day the store manager sat beside me in the break room, and I started talking shit to her about how I was trying to do my management impersonation and look important and do the work. And she just smiled at me and said, "So you're going to act like you're working?" I said, "Yep, just like the management." Which I do have an interview for a management position tomorrow. That'll be fun.
All right. Let's do this thing. Let's go ahead and do some toggling. I am toggling, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go with Little Fucking Heroes. Ladies and germs, go ahead, Mr. Robert Cooper. What'd you think of Little Fucking Heroes?
I think you're probably really fucking tired of hearing it.
That's for damn sure.
All right, hang on. This is so people understand, again, a little look behind the curtain. So, in preparation for this show, we've had to do some, you know, changes in audio, and again, I've been wanting to... we've done a couple of like rehearsal shows essentially just to make sure we had all the sound and everything was going to record and we weren't going to have any problems. A stroke later, and we've now heard Little Fucking Heroes at least 1,000 times because in all but one practice, it didn't work as well as it should have. So that's been fun. Yeah, at this point, I feel like I know the song by heart. But anyway, your thoughts, sir.
Oh, yeah. In terms of an opening track, I kind of feel like in some ways it opens you up to what the album's going to be about.
Yeah, it sure
does. In other ways, not quite as much. I would say that the song has the same sort of almost grind-esque drumming pattern as well as the guitar work. But I do think it has a little more focus than some of the other tracks, if that makes sense. It seems a little more straightforward to me. Perhaps I'm wrong on that, but I do feel that it tends to push along at a steady pace and doesn't go off on a ton of tangents like some of the other songs will. Some of the other songs are like, Phil, calm down. Calm down. Finish your spaghetti before you work on the ice cream, buddy. One at a time.
Phil, take your medicine.
Well, I think isn't that what this album's about, not taking your medicine?
Yeah.
All right.
In the name of virtuosity?
Yes.
As the Ultimate Warrior would have said it, which, by the way...
Oh, no.
So, my mom sent me a text saying, Billy Graham died, and I was like, superstar?
You know, my wife said the same thing to me, and I had the same reaction. She's
oh,
like,
wow.
Hey, did you hear Billy Graham died? And I'm like, and I knew she meant the preacher.
I did, too.
But in my head, I was totally like, superstar? No, that doesn't mean superstar. She doesn't know who superstar Billy Graham is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what mine was. I'm like, my mom would have no idea who that is. Which, you know, if I did know it was the Reverend, I would have known from the fucking 5 o'clock news, which they talked about that man for an hour and a half. And I was like, somebody else died.
Hey Jesse, I have a question
for you.
Jesse,
yeah,
I have a question for you, completely unrelated to anything we've talked about tonight, but totally related to things I like to talk about. Are you ready?
Sure.
When I joked, not really, that. When the Green Lantern Corps movie comes out in 2020, that we were going to do an on-trial for the Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern, but we were also going to do a source material. Do you remember what Green Lantern book I wanted to do?
When does it come out? 2020?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Mark Rattledge. I have no idea, dude. I am, like, concerned about things that are happening this month. You are concerned about things happening 2 years from now.
These,
so I have no,
I've been
I have no
struggling
idea,
with this.
No recollection.
I know I wanted to do whatever the conclusion to the Geoff Johns run was, but that was Blackest Night, which I might have thought that was a good idea at one time, but apparently it scares the shit out of you, and it was suggested. But it was also
I'll read it again. Definitely take one for the team. It's a great story, but
go ahead. That's the thing. It was also suggested as a really good Halloween read. So I'm thinking, well, maybe, you know, one Halloween we should save Blackest Night, but then what are we going to do for the Green Lantern movie? This is what I'm worrying about right now. Right now during this podcast.
This is,
I mean, you could always do something like, is it Emerald Twilight? Oh, no, you could just do Green Lantern Rebirth or something. Fuck, that's a good one.
Rebirth is good. That was one of the first ones I read that made me think about doing my source material show. But I don't know, Mark. We'll have to look. It wasn't one of the ones you picked up from Ollie's, was it?
No, the one I picked up from Ollie's was Green Lantern Wanted Hal Jordan.
Okay, yeah. We'll have to go into the take a look at the what's available and that's out there. Maybe something will tickle your fancy. It might be on your list.
It might be. I know that I'm. Yeah. I know that I'm slowly but surely becoming obsessed with the Rebirth, with the Rebirth things. I added a bunch of Rebirth trades on my wish list today, so be ready for that.
You know what's funny? Like, you're digging into the Rebirth, and I'm sitting here being like, "Hello there, '90s DC." I've been reading fucking Starman.
Nice,
Starman, dude. I picked up a trade at Ollie's of Starman. I don't know when it came out though, but it's. And what issues it encapsulates. So
did I tell you what my bastard fuck children did? Have I told you how I wanted to punch both my children in the fucking head? My bastard fuck children.
Jesus Christ, Mark.
How far are your kids away from you right now?
They are
like
both...
probably less than 100 feet. You're an asshole.
They are both asleep in their rooms. Let me... I think I shared the story on Messenger... But we are one track into this fucking album, by the way.
We don't want to fart around tonight, folks. We don't want to fart around.
No farting around tonight. Hey, be serious for just a minute. Listen, let me tell you how I wanted to beat my children. So, see, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a big fan of this podcast and you've heard me say, Jesse, why won't you beat your children live on my show? See, I'm willing to do it. I'm not just trying to put Jesse on blast. All right. So anyway. Mm-hmm. So we went to just like I've so had enough of you. I took my kids to Ollie's after we went to go see Black Panther, and I had we all went to Ollie's around the same time about a month ago, and you all picked up I think it was like the Tornado's Run or something like that, or the Tornado's Path. Mm-hmm. And I'd seen a bunch of them at the Ollie's in Zephyr Hills. And I didn't pick it up, and you all did, and it became like highly and I found out after the fact that it was like highly recommended. And at some point, when SG gets off his lazy ass, he'll schedule it on the Source Material podcast. I don't know why you haven't scheduled it yet. Time is running out.
There's the little fucking heroes.
Anyway, but I was like, okay, well, I don't want to miss out on this, so let me go over to Ollie's and and grab it. But I hadn't been to the one in Tampa yet. So we drove out to the Tampa one. There was one copy that I could find, and I had it in my hand along with some other stuff. And I put the shit in my cart, okay. And I told, and after we walked around, I told the kids stay with the cart.
Oh no!
And I went to go look for something, and I came back, and I'm like, where are the? And I see a towel and no comics. None.
Oh,
zero.
No.
Someone pulled like an Indiana Jones in the temple in Raiders of the Lost Ark on me. You know, like he removes the monkey head and puts a bag of sand in its place. Yeah, someone did that with my comic books and the towels.
Oh wow!
And I don't
Somebody
know
deserves
how,
a kick in the taint.
I don't know how that happened, but the best of all was when I turned and asked my kids, like, "Hey, did anyone go in the cart?" They're just like, "We don't know."
No.
Yeah. They were right
they're
there.
They're supposed to stay with the cart.
Someone stole comics out of my cart with my kids standing in front of it.
Ridiculous.
And neither one of these idiots says anything.
Ridiculous.
You should have walked up and been like, Dylan, you son of a bitch.
These were, on that moment, on that day, these were not my little fucking heroes. Speaking of which, what'd you think of the song, Jesse?
Oh, boy. Well, okay. So I'm making notes today while I'm listening to the album. And you could tell, okay, here's what I got. This is our opener track to this, and there's a lot of rage. You can clearly hear that in Phil Anselmo's vocals. We got a lot of little. Maybe that's what it's called, Little Heroes, because you hear a lot of little.
Pretty little angel eyes, yeah. Pretty little angel eyes, yeah.
Sure.
Pretty little angels.
This was, okay, just a while back, I was listening to a podcast. I decided to try and find a metal podcast or something music related, because most of the shit I listen to is like comic books and stuff you should know, things like this. So I was like, well, I don't really have any music related podcasts other than this one I've listened to before and became a part of. So they were talking about Phil Anselmo's new record a couple weeks before it got released, and this was the song they kind of played. And I mean, they were ripping it up and down. They did not like this guy at all, and I kind of see what they were saying, but they weren't like going into it critically, trying to explain why they disliked him or the album itself. But one of the things that they pointed out was how ridiculous at the end of this song. One of the things that he says is, "Don't assume, or you, just because you are down with the cause." And again, another spoken word piece. It almost feels like from Philip Anselmo here. Just because you are down with the cause, don't assume the cause is down with you. That's right. There's your some deep lyrics, ladies and gentlemen. deep.
Philip H. Anselmo and the philosophers.
That's what Phil is short for. Philosopher.
Or falafeler.
Choosing bullshit lyrics as a virtue.
Oh my gosh.
It's going to be one of those shows, ladies and gentlemen.
Just was not impressed off the first track. I didn't know what I was going to get. I mean, are we going to ever stop hoping for a return to Pantera? I mean, is that what we think we're getting into when we listen to this stuff? Do people out there accept and know what they're going to get with Philip Anselmo and the Illegals? Are they expecting a return to Pantera? Because that's not what's going to happen. That's not what the band's about. And clearly,
I don't think that's what he's about anymore. I you know, it's Phil Anselmo is to like Pantera what Vince McMahon, I feel like, is to wrestling. Like, yeah, that's his bread and butter, and that's what he does the best. But I feel like inside he just hates it and wants to do anything but that.
Okay. That makes sense. Makes a lot of sense.
Does it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
You know, I'm just happy we got that that two-part Down EP. That was cool.
Yeah, it was. See, I enjoyed Down. Down was an awesome band. I've seen them live a bunch of times.
I could go onto Spotify right now and tell you some Down songs that I absolutely love. This is not my bag at all. Not my bag that goes into my cup of tea.
Well, good, because we got a whole bunch more tracks to listen to. You ready?
Woo! Yeehaw! Let's go.
Let's do this.
I'm excited. I want to hear this again for the 20th time. Can we please hear the first song over again?
Let's play that same song again. Okay, here we go. Little fucking heroes. No. All right. Let's do some toggling. Here we go.
Sandwiches. I wish that first track was about sandwiches. And how mad he is that some of them, like, he goes to Subway and he only gets like a 10-inch sub when he ordered a 12. A little fucking hero. Coop, that was a good pun, right?
Oh god, that was goddamn wonderful.
Next.
That song is the whole reason why they got rid of the designation of footlong sandwich at Chief.
Yeah.
Okay, then. So a year or two ago, I gave myself food poisoning, I think. I had touched... this was before the Tide Pod Challenge, so let's try to avoid making those jokes, if we could help it. But I had I was doing laundry, and I did touch a Tide Pod, but I think it had become... It had bursted, and I thought I'd washed my hands, but I guess not well enough, because then I ate, like, fish and chips with my fingers, and I'm pretty sure, essentially, I digested soap, which, of course, made me vomit violently about an hour or so later. That's what this track sounds like.
That's pretty apt. I'm combing through a couple reviews here just to see, and one of our always favorite stops is Angry Metal Guy, and it's so funny you say that, because here he says, mental illness is concise and focused. By all means, 10 tracks in 46 minutes should not feel as painfully infinite as Phil's shit. Hold on. Wait for it. 46. Okay. By all means, 10 tracks in 46 minutes should not feel as painfully infinite as Phil's shit-throated mythanthropy makes it seem. So, shit-throated. Shit-throated. That's the first time I've ever heard that term. Coop.
I like shit throated in some ways. I honestly just kind of feel like I think he was just warming up one day, and he was just like, rah, 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 and he's like, you know what?
I think we got something
we can
here.
Make a song out of this, guys. I think we're on to something. Guys, get out the trash can. We'll throw it down the hill, and I want you to see if you can make a rhythm that can match up.
Yeah. With that. Yeah. There you go.
So, this is what we get. Ding, 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 ding.
Someone once called our music trash. Let's prove them right. Here we go.
Seriously, I just, like, blacked out momentarily. I was laughing so hard. I could not get air. Throwing a trash can down the hill.
And that's the funny thing is, like, I wonder, like, I haven't looked at the lyrics, but I seriously do wonder, like, what the meaning is behind them. But at the same time, when I'm listening to the music, I'm like, I really don't care.
It's like, you can't. You can try. You've got to try and figure out what he's saying.
Using garbage service. As
yeah.
A
yeah, there you go. Dude, has he always tried to go, has black metal feel to it. Am I right there, Coop?
I mean, yeah, vocally, yeah.
That's what I'm going for.
He loves his kind of black metal scream there. I wouldn't necessarily say in terms of music, it really has a black metal vibe to it. Black metal is usually a lot more cold and distant.
Okay.
This is a lot more in your face. This kind of reminds me of a backed up garbage disposal.
How many things can we compare this album? I will not forget that, though. That might be the funniest thing I've heard since last week's Why Should It Goes Well? Oh my god, I seriously couldn't get air just now. Alright, here's our title track-ish. Let's go ahead. This is our title track. This is Choosing Mental Illness.
Yeah.
righty. All right, guys. I mean, we're three tracks into this, and while we've had a few laughs, not hearing a lot of distinction in these tracks. Like, if you, like if I wasn't playing them off of Spotify, and you know, and I could see, obviously, you know, I'm moving the cursor from track to track to track, and we're taking breaks in between. Like when I was listening to this in the car, other than there were hard breaks between songs, I couldn't tell the difference between most of these. Like, there's one song on here that I think kind of stood out and had some swing to it. The rest of this is, as Robert so eloquently put it, sounds like a trash can being rolled.
Yeah, I mean, you... Here are my notes, and I think I actually can tie it to exactly what you're saying here. Now, you're saying there's not much variance between the tracks. I put so far there some variance, but I'm still not impressed. Now, the problem is that I think I'm lumping... I say there's some variance in the fact that everything is chaos. It's just all over the board, in my opinion, and you... At some point, your brain just says, well, that just sounds a lot like the other because I can't make anything out of it anyway. And if you really, you clearly can see that not just each track is different from each other, but each song becomes different at certain points within the song itself. So it's still, there's no rhythm. There's nothing that sets anything apart from these songs.
The rhythm is not going to get you.
Oh, never has. Coop?
Honestly, I would say that I do feel like this song has kind of a grind aspect to it. It feels kind of grindy.
Heroes and Grinders. Heroes and Grinders. Oh, sorry.
Well, see, I was just thinking the entire time I heard I was just running the title of this track through my head as Choosy Mom Choosing Jif as a Virtue.
Shit.
Like, that just fucking tickled me to death. But yeah, I mean, otherwise, the song was just kind of there. It was just a whole lot of repeated blast beats. This is kind of why, like, I don't do as much grindcore and, like, brutal death metal, just because, especially here, where it's very limited in terms of chord progression, there's not a whole lot that really spaces the tracks out between each other that make them really sound distinct, which is a shame. I'm really curious as to what must be going through Phil Anselmo's head. But I'm also kind of wondering how many bowls of pot he smoked in 2001, so maybe those two things have something to do with one another.
I know he has got to have a huge fucking ego. Because, like, I just haven't...
I was singing a huge fucking dig.
All right. Bore back to sausages again. But I remember seeing Superjoint Ritual when that first album came out. And he was so full of himself. And it's like he's got to go back and hear this and going, this is it. This is what metal should sound like. And it's like, no, most of us just think you're making a lot of noise. Just, you know, let's just throw that out there. But, like, I just get this... Like that. That's a Philip H. Anselmo and the Illegal song.
Listening to Coop sneeze is a virtue.
Like, I feel like he's the George Lucas of metal. Like, no one will tell him no. Just, this is terrible, please stop. You know, it's just, he's just like, yeah, man, we're just so happy to have a job. Sure, this is, yeah, your fucking trash can rolling down a hill sounds fantastic.
Keep, you just be you over there, Phil. You just do you.
Do you, Phil, do you.
Yeah.
All right, let's get on with the ignorant point here on the Metal Hammer of Doom.
Yeah!
listening to this morning, and you know, I remember thinking to myself, you know, like, oh, finally, I feel like it's this one and the next one. No, this one and then two songs from now, Delinquent, where I'm like, yes. Oh, finally, we get some groove going. We get, you know, we get some breakdown. We get something that makes the booty move. It's the electric groove. About a minute into that, I was like, yeah, I was starting to actually like move my head, you know, shake my tushy, do a little dance, make a little love, get down tonight. You know what I'm saying? Know what I mean? You know, like finally we get something that sounds like music. So hooray, four songs into it.
Okay, my notes are as follows. I can kind of tolerate this song.
It's like your daughter's, not your daughter specifically, just sort of, this is a general statement before I finish the sentence, but it's just yes. Like, it's like your daughter's black boyfriend. It's like, well, I can kind of tolerate you. You seem decent.
I'm trying my best, you know, to enjoy what I can out of here. It gets annoying towards the end because he continues to repeat the same thing over and over. Don't shoot the messenger or you'll prove the point. And it's just like, okay, dude, I get it. But I get your ignorant point. Coop?
This is why the guys in Machine Head and Scott Ian yelled at you. You half a racist. Go ahead.
Did they really?
Yeah. Remember that Phil and Tom? I don't remember the whole story, and I'm too tired to look it up. But there was something about like him saying something about like Nazism, and you know the whole metal community kind of did a collective, you know. And then and Scott Ian and Machine Head went public with the Phil Anselmo's a putz comments.
Oh yeah, I fucking remember that. God, that was so long ago. This song's just. I mean, yeah, it's got some groove to it. It sounds more like they decided to kind of put a brick in the trash can and shake it.
Yeah.
You know, or you know what? They put a brick in the dryer and just decided to see what happened.
You know, I think I've talked about how, like, the first, like, one of the first KMFDM shows was a bunch of vacuum cleaners plugged into distortion pedals and shit like that. Like, it'd be funny if that's actually what created this album. Was just like no instruments. It's just Phil Anselmo recording various sounds around his house. Like, I need drumming. Let me put a brick in the dryer.
Oh man, it's like, yeah. Hey guys, I'm sorry to let you know, but the illegals are no more. Instead, it's Phil Anselmo and the appliances.
I don't know if this show's ever going to see the light of day. I guess if you're listening to it.
So do you think he gets guitar solos by putting tinfoil in a microwave?
If people are listening to this show, then clearly it did make the light of day in some form or fashion. But I have to wonder if this is ever going to get shared. Like if someone like who knows Phil, maybe not in the band or whatever, but it's like, hey Phil. I know there's a lot of reviewers out there, a lot of famous reviewers, and your stuff, you know, definitely runs the gamut of people who love it to people who hate it, but there's this one podcast. I don't want you to get too mad and throw shit around the studio, but they started to refer to your band as Phil Anselmo and the Appliances. And he starts wigging microphones across the house.
Oh.
I don't know if he's still married to the one chick, but she's playing on her acoustic guitar. She gets a toaster in the head.
Son of a bitch.
You know what? And then he gets inspiration for a third album.
Choosing spousal abuse as a virtue. Oh, that's not nice.
Wait, throwing toaster ovens as a virtue.
Philip H. Anselmo and the Appliances.
Oh, it's great.
All right, let's move on. Do we have anything that we want to say about the ignorant point?
I don't get the point.
Okay, or if we've clearly compared this band to enough household items, we can move on.
Yes.
Terrific. Let's go ahead and play a little ditty called Individual. You know, that one actually wasn't bad either. That one was pretty good. It's our longest song, I think, of the entire album, clocking in at 6 minutes. Almost the longest song. Mixed Lunatic Results is the longest at 6:58. This one came in just under it at 6:49. This one wasn't so tinny. This one didn't sound like Lars Ulrich a la Saint Anger. Just, yeah. You know... Putting his pet rabbit on the snare drum.
Yeah.
Dink.
Dink, 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 dink.
Ting, 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 ting.
Shamalama ding dong.
Still too chaotic for me to actually feel like I was gaining any ground with this album. Nothing... You know, I'm wondering if there is a very big... I don't know, weight of blame to put on the mixing of this album as well. Because it's like, okay, hey, we have 10 tracks, turn them all up to 11, and we have a record. So it's like, I can't make shit out. Everything is like over top of each other.
Are you sure that's just not our recording tonight?
No, trust me, I've listened to this album on Spotify through my headphones twice. I've suffered through,
Not counting the amount of times we've played it during practice.
Yeah, now that, I think my most favorite song off here of all is not the first track. I will tell you that for sure. It is not.
And if it was, it is not anymore.
Little fucking heroes. But yeah, this was this one was just all over the place. Again, it's like trying to make sense of just a bunch of words jumbled on a page. I can't make anything out of it. I can't enjoy anything before it changes over to something else.
It's like trying to ice skate uphill.
Indeed. Coop.
Oh, I believe.
Oh yeah, this really did feel like the track that had the most focus so far. I mean, it almost felt like it had a point. I know. Imagine music having a point.
The devil, you say?
I know. Just how odd of an idea, really. It's like just so ludicrous. In fact, in terms of speed, is that ludicrous speed? Baseball reference. Yeah, I mean, really, this seems like the high water mark on this album so far. I didn't mind Little Fucking Heroes. Isn't that the song?
I think so. I think it is.
I mean, at this point, it was just like, Mark, can you hear it? Can we hear it? That's what the song should be called. Hey, guys, was that it? It sounded like it.
Is that
how do we sound? Why aren't you talking to me?
Is this all right? Do you like it? Is this how you like it? A little to the left? Should I do the alphabet?
Oh, jeez.
Slide to the left.
Slide to the right.
Crisscross. Crisscross. Fucking Little Heroes. Now here's Phil.
All right, let's go ahead and move this party along. Slide to the left, slide to the right. Let's go ahead and do a little delinquent. You know, I would have let that go another 30 seconds because, I, like I said, we usually try to play half the song. I think that still keeps us in fair use from the little bit of legal reading I was doing tonight. As long as we only play a portion of the song, we're okay. But I couldn't take it anymore. Like,
what? What? I thought you said this was like the one.
No,
that
I was definitely thinking of the one before it. It was Individual.
Oh, I like Delinquent. I actually like this song.
This sounds like him just doing spoken word. This sounds like beat poetry, only like yelling beat poetry.
As in, you beat your wife with an appliance poetry.
Yeah.
All right, so I've been wanting to talk about this all night, and now's as good a time as any. Jesse, so in like a couple of weeks when Jessica Jones premieres on Netflix, we're going to be covering Jessica Jones Uncaged, and I'm looking at the spine of the trade paperback. And this is really sophomoric and really silly of me, but I can't get it out of my head. The authors on this thing, or the credits on this thing, are Bendis and Gatos, and I keep giggling. Bendis Gatos.
Come on, Ben Gay, Mark.
How long?
Oh,
I mean, like, I didn't think this was highbrow humor, but it made me giggle every time I looked at it, and I had to share it with you.
You're about to send a pic of that, because most likely they have it set up. So it probably would make me think the same thing, but I can't picture in a realm where it says Bendis and Gatos that I immediately go to Ben Gay. Come on. Jeez, you kidding me?
Just write the word Bendis, then write Gatos next to it, and then you'll giggle.
Is it Gatos?
It's Gaydos.
Oh, okay. Well, then
it's two gays. Bend it over.
Ben Gay.
Ben Gay.
Bend over.
Only the highest brow humor here on the Metal Hammer of Doom, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, that's right.
Anyway, Delinquent sucked. Next song. No. Explain yourself, Jesse.
Well, I think it started out. Now, here's my notes here, because I think this started out where I was like, okay, this has got some promise to it, but it, or I should say, had hope. It had hope. I think towards the end, it again tosses that hope into the washer along with the brick, turns it on, you know, and just dashes it all to hell. It's probably my most tolerable song off of this album. I thought for sure Delinquent was going to be the one you like too. I think there's like it breaks down into a song almost that it felt like something you can bob your head to, and granted it only does that for a short period, but it's I think it's way better than the rest of the songs on this album.
Okay, well, you're wrong.
Sure.
It wouldn't be a Metal Hammer of Doom without me being a jerk.
Oh, he's better you being a jerk than falling asleep.
True.
What is with you guys? I've only fallen asleep in at least a dozen podcasts. Why does everyone keep bringing it up?
You say at least a dozen podcasts?
Yes.
That's a pretty good percentage more. I think I've fallen asleep during two podcasts, and that was because it was 4 a.m.
Ronnie Adams brought that up the other night too. It's just like, you know, we were teasing Ronnie about not getting the podcast on time, and we're like, oh, when was the last time you took a nap? And he goes, well, during the Metal Hammer of Doom.
John Cougar concentration camp.
Goat.
Oh
penis.
God, there was an album I took note of. It was some Malaysian death metal band. I'm gonna have to look at it again, because it's just so silly and sacrilegious. It's fucking funny.
Oh, you gotta find it and give it to him. Send it to Ronnie. Spam Ronnie with it.
Oh, I will. I love when he was like, "Yeah, Coop, you know you're the voice of reason here," and I'm like, "I am the one that brought up the concentration camp." I was like, "No, Jesse is much more the he's much more the voice of reason."
Yeah, that's a bad sign.
Mark and I are just two sides of the same. We're just two sides of the same chaotic coin.
Yeah. All right. Isn't
it nice to have goat penis?
Isn't it? Aw, I missed my soundboard.
No.
Could some like enterprising programmer out there come up with something that's like Blog Talk Radio but doesn't fail nearly as much? That would be what I really want. I want a soundboard, and I want to be able to connect with my friends and do a podcast and not have a stroke. Is that possible?
You know, there are things that you can buy that, I don't know if you've looked into them or not, but you can buy external soundboards and run your mic through those and then run it to your computer. And you could actually push the button, an actual button, to play a sound too,
and rip the knob off.
Dude,
I was doing that at work today. I was telling the provider I work with about the whole air horn thing, and then the rip the knob off. And so by the end of the day, both of us, this woman had no clue what I was talking about, but she thinks I'm hilarious. So she, both me and her, every time like somebody would, the way central booking works is the nurses will bring stuff into our work area and pitch us on it and say, okay, well, this person can go through, this person we need to talk to, you know, whatever. But like every time a nurse would walk into the room, one of us would start and the other one would finish going, "Rip the knob off." And like the nurses are all like, do you two need to be Baker acted?
Oh my god.
It was pretty hilarious.
Get them out of here. Get them out of here. These guys have gone insane.
We ripped the knob off of everything, let me tell you.
I'm very concerned that you bring your podcast life to work. I'm starting to become worried.
I bring my work life to the podcast and my podcast to my work life. I play the podcast at work.
You can't keep them separated.
You got to keep them separated. Na, 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 na. All right.
I had a coworker ask me, so they were like, "You do a podcast?" I'm like, "Yeah." "Well, when do people listen to it?" "Yeah." "How much money do you make off of it?" "I don't make shit." He goes, "Well, when did you start it?" I said, "Oh, like 5 fucking years ago, you fucking plebeian."
Hey, man, I just got a check for $28.30 from Blog Talk Radio. I'm in the money.
Whoa.
Rip the knob off.
Was that your severance package?
That's my severance package from Blog Talk? No, that's like 4 to 6 months of our monetization. You know, that is 4 to 6 months of accumulated people like listening to the podcast and hearing the ads and me getting a percentage of it. Rip the knob off. It's sad.
Rip the knob off.
Da 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 da. Someday I got to put together like a personalized intro for the Rattle Engine Broadcasting Network, and it's going to be turn it up and rip the at the end of it, it's going to be turn it up and rip the knob off.
Clearly, that is what this podcast needs.
It's gonna start with why the Rattle Engine Broadcasting Network. Why should it goes well? Turn it up and rip the knob off. Get on that shit, Jesse. Jesse, get me a sound effect that I can't play. Mindy, make a t-shirt I can't sell. Let's do it.
Every gimmick, every callback right at the beginning in a 10-second span.
That's right. We need a new supercut to replace, you know, wah, 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 wah. Oh, it's a living.
It's horrible that we don't have the soundboard, but we gotta go do it anyway. We'll just do it right now.
I've now played it so many times, I actually remember the sequence.
Wow. Oh, it's hilarious.
I can do a horse neighing if we want. Or I can do unlistenable. Absolute shite.
Absolute shit. Shite. DC.
Crap.
Unlistenable.
Nickelback.
Oh, we don't miss the soundboard at all, ladies and gentlemen. No. Nickelback. Uh-huh. Nickelback. I wouldn't give you a penny back. Ba-ding! Hey.
Hey. Wow.
Who wants to hear another song?
Choosing mental illness is our virtue.
All right. Let's hear some photographic taunts.
Choosing mental math is a virtue.
Taunting the law of life. Rebirth.
as they say, it ain't half bad, but it ain't half good, neither.
It was just, like, kind of there in a way. Like, this one seemed, again, kind of like the first track. It seemed consistent in terms of kind of musical tone and what it was doing, but at the same time, it wasn't very impressive. It was just like...
Yeah,
which is kind of what I imagine. Phil kind of opening, closing their freezer real quick.
All right.
Maybe you brought out the power drill for this one. I don't know.
Phil moved from the garage into the kitchen to record his music.
Oh jeez.
Jesse.
Yeah. I don't know. All I had on this one was okay. I mean, this is we're four songs out from the end of the album, and
only four.
We're
Jesus
from the end of the album,
like 20th track.
I know, dude.
Did I pick an awesome album to do or a rough run through for the Metal Hammer of Doom on Spreaker? Could I not? Could I not have picked a better album?
Like, absolutely. This is perfect. I mean, it's unremarkable. How's that? I mean, I have nothing to say about the song that we just listened to.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Is it unlistenable?
Absolute shite.
Crap. Feces.
Crap. Feces.
Unlistenable.
I'm going to lean towards the yes on that. On that. There's few the tracks, band? Few albums that really garner that type of criticism from me. But, I mean, I've listened to this album twice, and it is honestly unending. There's not something that I look forward to off of this album. And we still have three tracks to go, with one of my favorite song titles coming up next.
Oh, yeah, this one's a corker. Ladies and gentlemen, here's our star track of the night. This one's a little ditty I like to call Finger Me.
I said choosing to close my dick in a waffle iron is a virtue.
And boy, I was afraid we were going to have a bad show tonight.
Well, I mean, it might not be the most serious sort of, oh God, was this finger me?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Oh, dear Lord. Like, when I saw that as a title, I'm like, oh, Phil.
Yeah.
What happened to good friends on a bottle of pills where you could talk about she slapped your ass and... Or wait, I slapped her ass and she called me daddy? I keep mixing that one up. I'm like, yeah. She slapped my ass and said, call me daddy. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute.
Wait a second now.
I totally thought
like,
you whoa. Said...
She I was like, whoa, that totally flipped the, that flipped the script there, little boy.
She slapped my ass and I called her daddy.
Oh, yeah.
Ouch.
Things change there, that's for sure. My goodness.
That went from a little bit of sexual dominance to a little sexual domination. And yeah. I don't think that's what the song was about.
Mm. Yeah, I really want Phil Anselmo to write a song called I Slapped Her Ass, She Called Me Daddy. She slapped my ass and I called her daddy.
She slapped my ass, I called her daddy.
Like, now, did he actually call her that name, or did he actually, like, get on the phone and call
that.
Her father?
She was like, he's like, if you do not stop, I will call your father.
Oh, my goodness.
She slapped. He's like, yes, hello, sir. Your daughter is currently sexually assaulting me. And she's demanding that I call you for some reason. I don't know why.
I'm going to have to start doing this show with a fucking inhaler.
That's what I get for dating an Irish girl. Call me daddy. Call me daddy.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know if anyone's going to hear this show, but I hope this doesn't cause somebody who's listening to it to laugh as hard as I am right now while they're driving or whatever and like crash the car.
Not wreck. Well, let me just, I mean, again, the song title is tremendous. I mean,
it's a triumph for the English language music.
The best part of this album is the song title, Finger Me. I mean, again, he gets to the spoken word repetitive stuff towards the end where he's yelling, I do my job and you will do yours, which, oh my goodness, that now fits into the narrative with some dominance. But yeah, it's again, I'm not impressed with the song at all. So, Coop.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, really, this is not quite the finger banging I think he was hoping for. Yeah, it was just
choosing
was just
finger
kind of
banging
a
as a virtue.
There. Yeah. Cooking bacon naked is a virtue.
What? What the hell?
We never really got to the kitchen with any of this. So I'm wondering if he's getting his ass slapped in the kitchen too.
Cooking bacon naked as a virtue.
Oh gosh.
He's just sitting there. Apron on, completely fucked.
No, not even apron. Just fucking balls randomly popped by things of grease in the bacon. You think maybe that sounds like that? He's like, oh my balls. He's like, oh God, oh finger me, Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Philip H. Anselmo. Yes.
I'm going to nominate this album as, like, best comedy album of the year.
Clearly.
I
don't know. We have a new Ministry album coming out this year.
Oh, Jesus Christ. God. Philip H. Anselmo and the Illegals versus Ministry. This is one of if this album doesn't cause me to have a stroke tonight, I'm sure that one will, for one reason or another.
I actually heard a new song off that Ministry album, I believe. Do they have a single out for that? You guys know? You guys
I believe
don't
they do.
Sure they do.
I think that I might have heard it.
I haven't listened to it yet. I tend to not necessarily listen to the singles. I just wait for the album to come out. So, all right, let's get through this. let's get this shit over with.
Cause I gotta take a shower and I gotta get ready for a fucking interview tomorrow. Fuck me running.
What interview for what?
Did you say you're going for management?
A temporary management position.
At Lowe's?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you. All right, here we go. This is Invalid Columbine Frauds. Gentlemen, what did we think of that one?
Well, I know he was trying to... of all the songs on here that I paid attention to the lyrics of, I think this one was probably the most... I'm trying to think of the word to say. Like we
culturally relevant?
Yes, there we go. Topical right now. He's making some type of a statement about, you know, shootings, school shootings, I would assume.
False flags.
What?
I don't have no idea. I'm wondering if this is a reference to, like, people are like, Sandy Hook was a fake. It was a false flag.
I don't know, man. I have
not
no
really
idea.
The same topic.
I don't fucking know. I just work here.
Terrific.
No, I...
Get... Mixing conspiracy theories up as a virtue.
Oh, yes. Yeah, but anyway, it's probably, you know, he's got some kind of a statement as to whether I know what it is. At one point, I swear it was, I don't want to say he was justifying what was going on, but he was like, he was talking about, I don't know if it's towards the end of the song, but it sounds like he was... I'm trying to find the lyrics, too, by the way, and I know I'm all over the place, but it sounded like he was trying to put you in the mind of the shit that a school shooter goes through, like a student who picks up a gun and goes in and shoots up a class.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
Weird.
Are your kids doing, like, shooter drills in school? Because that's the big thing now in Florida, is it just started... Like, they have to do active shooter drills.
How far did that shit happen from you, by the way?
That was Miami.
Okay, so you're a Tampa. That's way south, right?
Yeah, it's three hours by car.
Gotcha. All right. But yeah, no, we're not. But it's strange that my wife just found a police blotter that had posted something that happened just 5 days ago in our school, where this student had sat down. It was a middle school, eighth grader, I believe. My daughter's in seventh. And he had wrote like a ton of shit in his notebook about what he wanted to do to people in the school. And somebody saw it, called the police, and they were investigating it and potentially going to file criminal charges. But from what I understand, nothing's come of it. That shit's scary. I mean, just today, a friend at work, her daughter goes to college. Their college was on lockdown today because of some BS that was going on outside. Of all the tracks on here, I would probably say that this one, I'm really, really curious as to what Phil's trying to say, as to whether it makes any sense or I agree with it or not. But it definitely has that feeling that it probably carries some weight just because of what's been going on here recently. So, Coop.
Yeah, I got told once in high school I looked like a school shooter.
Terrific.
I thought it was pretty damn funny. I corrected them later and told them I was more of a cult leader type.
Oh, okay.
I make really good Kool-Aid. Just kind of watch out for, the after effects.
Nothing to worry about here.
That's right, yeah. I remember we had a bomb threat once in high school. I didn't realize it. I was a freshman. I just thought we were having a weird-ass pep rally. That was cool. And I do remember in college, UNCG was on lockdown, and it turns out somebody was carrying around an umbrella.
Oh, jeez.
And it just kind of looked funny. I'm like, well, all right, cool. That's welcome to life.
We've had a lot of laughs show. here comes a serious discussion part of the show.
Yeah, I mean, school shootings. There's some bullshit, and people fucking suck.
That's the truth.
Alright, let's go ahead and play the last track so we can get out of here.
This track. I felt like this album, the more I think about it, like if I ever went on a run, this album wouldn't be too bad for it.
I should get back to running. Alright, this is Mixed Lunatic Results. Alright, let me just go ahead and give my final thoughts here on the album.
Fucking album, I fucking swear.
This is going to get a solid C for me. It's a lot of samesy, it's a lot of...
So fucking generous.
It's a lot of tinny drumming. I feel like let me echo some of the thoughts I had on the most recent On trial. I feel like Phil just walked into the studio with no pants on, smacked his dick into the microphone.
Do you think he walked only through the exit?
Oh! Hey!
Hi-yo!
Hardcore!
Yeah, I just feel like this was Phil banging his dick on the microphone and screaming for 45 minutes. With the occasionally his backup band was like, "Does anyone just want to jam?" And then we got a good song. Other than that, it was a lot of dick banging and, you know, and bricks in a dryer and a garbage can rolling downhill. All of the above. Unlistenable.
Oh,
Robert.
Yes.
Absolute shit. Oh. Yeah, you know, I do feel like this would be like an okay album because for like running or something, because it's got like a certain parts have a rhythm to them, but a lot of the times it's just got almost has that beat that comes along with a lot of your grindcore. I mean, it's not the worst album I've ever heard. There are some good parts in it, but yeah, it kind of just musically. It sounds like, you know that paper that you wrote 15 minutes before it was due?
It feels like a rush job.
This feels like a paper that's almost due. And they're like, ah, fuck it, I guess we got to put something in there. All right, Phil, you get the trash can, I'll get the brick. We'll just kind of see what happens, you know? We'll just kind of see where we're at musically. We'll push our boundaries. And this is what came out. I like your analogy of Phil Anselmo whacking his dick against a microphone. Mm. I was kind of thinking something similar, but I was also thinking that maybe some of this was thought up when he was high as fuck or something and playing a didgeridoo naked.
There's an image. Hard as nails, fucking Phil Anselmo. Butt ass naked.
Cooking bacon.
Dick on a microphone, didgeridoo in hands.
Occasionally stopping to cook bacon.
and beat his wife with a toaster oven.
Speaking of beating his wife with a toaster oven, Jesse?
Choosing mental illness as a virtual boy. Coop, weighing that one.
We should call Sean Garmer in here so he can be like virtual boy.
Gosh, number 8 on Jesse Starcher's spreadsheet lands right there. Philip H. Anselmo. There was not a song on here that I enjoyed all the way through. There are parts of songs that I enjoyed somewhat, and then got completely ruined. So I don't know if I'd ever recommend this album to anybody, to be honest. Maybe it's because I don't know these people that run in, they don't run in my circles, but there's not going to be someone that I run into and say, "Have you heard this album?" Yeah, have you heard the good word? I certainly ain't fucking choosing mental illness as a virtue. I am not impressed.
Think this album is for like your fucking conspiracy nut crackhead uncle. It's just me like, "Hey, Uncle Bill, you want to hear something interesting? Yeah, here's a guy that sounds like the Tasmanian devil."
Yeah,
he does sound like the Tasmanian devil at some point. La, la, la.
Before you hit me in the head, I choose mental illness as virtue.
Choosing the Tasmanian devil as your vocalist.
Alright. Next week here on the Metal Hammer of Doom, we're going to be checking out a new band and their debut album, Rum Ahoy, The Triumph of Piracy, just in time for Pirates Week Pot Deuce.
Dude, I've been listening to one of their songs. Like, the vocals are a little weird sometimes, but god damn, are they fun.
Yeah, the vocals are... They are. It's going to be a fun show.
I have told everybody willing to listen to me about Netflix and Yar.
uh, Yar, Netflix and Yar. That's one of the songs off the album.
Oh, good fucking God.
All right. The same week, we'll have Aquaman, The Trench on Source Material, and we'll have Black Sails Season 2 on TV Party Tonight. It'll be myself and the harumphing man himself. Just watch him do the harumphy humph. This is Ronnie Adams of the Screaming Boy.
Watch him do the harumphy humph.
And you just say rumpy hump.
People say you're a rumpy. You really sigh a lot. That's all right.
Is it the harumphy dance?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
The harumphy dance is your dance to do the harumph.
Do the harumph.
So that's all next week here on the Rattle Legend Broadcasting Network. You can, we'll probably do TV Party Tonight here on Spreaker. We're slowly, like I said, we're slowly doing a shift here. We'll see how this show does tonight. I want to start doing more shows on here, make sure everyone gets comfortable with the new Spreaker setup, and then eventually I'm going to put up a podcast that basically says goodbye to Blog Talk Radio, find us over on Spreaker, and then I'm going to cancel my account. That's by the end of March, we should be done with Blog Talk Radio for good. I'd like to actually be done with it before I have to pay for it again. But, you know, we'll see. I don't want to rush into things. You know, at this point, the money is spent for the month. So, you know, I'm going to just take it slow. Slow and low, that is the tempo. And we'll, in the meantime, you'll be able to find us on Spreaker, iTunes, blogtalkradio.com, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and wherever else you find podcasts, except for Spotify. We don't know how to get on there. So, you can also find us on YouTube. If you check out our YouTube page now, anything that gets uploaded to Spreaker also goes to YouTube. So if you're one of those weirdos who only listens to podcasts on YouTube for some odd reason, and you don't have like an actual podcast app you listen to this shit on, go check us out on YouTube. It's the Mark Rattledge YouTube page. On YouTube, and you'll see the last couple of shows there. We reviewed Black Panther on Damn You Hollywood, and what was Monday's show? What just went up? Oh, the Black Duh.
Black who Panther.
Who is the Black Panther on Source? Who is the Black Panther on Source Material? All right, Robert Cooper, do your plugs, sir.
Sitting on your balls while getting into the car is a virtue.
It's a common occurrence, what that shit is.
Dunking your balls in the toilet is a... Eating a burger on the toilet is a virtue.
Yes. Speaking of mental illness.
Good. Oh, God.
Yeah, I resemble that remark.
All right. So there's this fucking podcast. Good God. I should just tell my coworkers to listen to this one. Hey, guys, you want to hear silliness? Here. Talk about fucking throwing trash cans, sitting on our balls, and burning our dicks with bacon grease.
In that order.
Well, I try to hit up girls on Tinder. Hey, girl, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm sorry we didn't get to hear a lot of your... I'm sorry we didn't get to hear a lot of your sad dating stories. I promise, next show, okay? It'll be the triumph of piracy and the defeat of Robert Cooper.
Oh God, that one was bad. When she was just like, "Have a good, well, enjoy trying to find a good dick."
All right, get on with your plugs. All
right, well, this podcast, it's a thing. Then there's the Cinch Rider podcast, which exists, even though I don't really like watch like record it. It's on Facebook, facebook.com/CinchRiderPodcast. It is CinchRider podcast. There's W2Mnet.com. We share lots of content with them. They share with us. It's good. Sharing is caring. Listen to deadly disease. Like the flu. If you have the flu, stay home. Fucking idiot. And then there's ScrapingTheBottom.com. My buddy Kevin's podcast, Scraping the Bottom. I was on there once. He brought cake. There was a dumpster fire. I think that should be Philip H. Anselmo's new album. having a dumpster fire as a virtue, you know?
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, go give the Rattlitch in Broadcasting Network Facebook page a like to stay up on top of all the great podcasts that we have to offer. We will be posting stuff there for sure. I mean, hey, if we're not on Blog Talk, we're going to post a link there so you can find us pretty easily. So that's probably the best way to stay in touch with whatever podcast that we're going to be involved in. I do a show. It's called Source Material, where we talk about comics. It's basically a book club for comic book fans, where me, Mark Rattlitch, Ronnie Adams, and other co-hosts upcoming. You may have already mentioned this, Mark, but I'll go ahead and plug it again. Cole Marantette's going to join us for Aquaman, The Trench, first six issues of the New 52 series. We just recorded that there Monday, and it was a good show. Real tight show. We got it done. It's probably going to be about an hour. We usually keep them right around an hour, and then there's a good at least 3 or 5 minute gag reel at the end of every episode. You will enjoy all the time. Trust me.
I don't feel like this one's going to have a good gag reel. Like, we were pretty well behaved since Cole was on.
That's all right. That's okay. If anything, at least you can go there for some good discussion in regards to Aquaman and how Mark Rattlitch lies to his kids and tell them that monsters are not real. Yes. Other than that, you can follow me at Stiznarkeet on Twitter if you do so wish. The show's Twitter for Source Materials at SourceMatCast. I'm ready to go to bed, gentlemen. I probably cried like 5 times a night, so I am spent.
All right, like, let's go ahead and play.
Like this whole podcast is a fucking gag reel.
That's
yeah,
the truth.
This one is. All right, everyone.
I'm gagging in a low rent porno.
Hey.
I couldn't think of a better way to outro this. Don't spoil it. For gagging, what was it? Gagging on a porno.
I said, for the podcast, more gagging than a low-rent porno.
All right. More gagging than a low-rent porno. He's Robert Cooper. That's Jesse Starcher. I'm your man, Data Reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified. And this has been the Metal Hammer of Doom on Spreaker. Be well, be safe, and behave.
A matchup.
And what a team, Mike. Metro PCS and the iPhone SE for $0 on a network that covers 99% of people in the U.S. Oh, impressive.
Play with the best. Switch to Metro PCS on an unlimited LTE plan and get a 32-gig iPhone SE for $0. Metro PCS.
Coverage not available in some areas, plus sales tax. Claim based on talk and text. Not valid for active numbers currently on the T-Mobile network or active on Metro PCS in the past 90 days. See store for details and terms and conditions.